The What True Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Main interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this should.
Hi, Eliza. Welcome to What True Next podcast.
Hi.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh man, I'm a romance writer. I have my debut novel coming out on April 10th, 2023. I am just a chaotic creature in general, but I love reading and I love writing and I love talking about reading and writing. So,
yeah, we've been internet friends since the pandemic, since we started
meeting
badly in the pandemic.
I know. It's been a long time.
I've
made a lot of the Bookstagram has been like a real, I know I speak for a lot of people when I say this, like Bookstagram in the pandemic was like a real saving grace, you know, to like have community and feel plugged in and interact and engage with people when you're all locked in your homes. And I had a baby right at the beginning of the pandemic too, April 2020. So it was like double lockdown, just like newborn. So Bookstagram was, and meeting people, you and others, was so, so awesome.
Yeah, I think for me, I ended up, because I moved 2 weeks before the pandemic to Chicago. So I was like, from New York to Chicago, I was like stuck in my apartment. And then I moved to Florida, and I have not made a community in Florida because Florida is Florida, and we're going to, I'm working on that in therapy. So
Florida's Florida.
The whole thing. And so, so for me, like my internet friends became a lifeline. Like they kept me company because I've been alone by myself.
Absolutely. And I feel like there have been a lot of really good conversations surrounding like our unconscious ableism around like taking for granted like in-person interaction, whereas for a lot of people, a lot of disabled people in particular, like internet friendships for since the beginning of the internet have been a huge lifeline. And the rest of us, you know, and I've really enjoyed those conversations in the space, like learning, you know, just how we can decolonize those thoughts more, you know. But yeah, I agree. Lifeline for sure.
Yeah. They're still my lifeline. I do have moved away from the app every so often. I stopped posting in the app and stuff, but I kept connecting with new, learning, I learned how to make new friends. That's been exciting. But the other part is cultivating those relationships in a deeper fashion, whether it's voice messages or video messages or phone calls,
voice memos,
you know, I'm one of those, like I have friends who I voice memo like 10 minute memos and like 15 minute memos. Like you just like you tell the whole life story and like it's great. It's like the best of both worlds. I love talking.
I love it.
But I'm like
my husband hates it. My husband's like, why send me these? I'm like, because they're the best.
They're the best. I just want to have stream of consciousness.
I don't. I was like, you're the outlier because literally everyone else I talk to, like all my friends who live in the internet, like we live for voice memo.
Well, I'm not surprised now. I made the connection. I have a podcast, so obviously voice memos are my love language.
It's a spoken word processor. I think we're all verbal processors, so it's
So, all right. So we gotta talk about your writing process and your writing journey during the pandemic because. Before the pandemic, it was one way, but the pandemic created a shift, creates this mix of how we work, how we do things. And I think you have an interesting writing process that can other aspiring writers can emulate. So,
yeah. So I have a Patreon, as some of your listeners might be aware of and might not be aware of. But I, at the beginning, not the beginning of the pandemic necessarily, because I had a newborn, but kind of like a few months in to all of us being locked in our homes. I have an MFA in writing. I'll just throw that out. But I hadn't written anything in like 5 or 6 years. And I decided I want to do this. I want to write a book. I want to write a romance. I want to write a romance novel. But staring into the black hole that was like my brain at that time. I mean, I was wildly depressed. I had rampant postpartum depression and anxiety. I had just been diagnosed with ADHD, as so many of us were in the pandemic, when all of our coping mechanisms and our masking mechanisms were removed. And so I was like, how am I going to make myself do this? And I said, well, if I had somebody that I was accountable to, not just like a writing buddy, because like a writing buddy, you can always email and be like, hey, life got crazy this week, not going to get you a chapter. And they're like, oh, it's totally fine. But like, if I had somebody that I was like accountable to. And so I was talking to my husband and I was like, I think I'm going to start a Patreon. I think I'm going to write a book on Patreon, like one chapter at a time, one chapter every 2 weeks. That's how it started. And even if I have one subscriber, one person that has paid me to read, I will do it, because I have that outside accountability. And then I wrote a whole book, and then it got to the point that I was posting every week, and I was posting another book, and I'm now writing two books simultaneously, and I'm releasing that first book that I wrote on Patreon on April 10th. So it's been an interesting process. My friend Sarah, who's also a writer, describes it as like live beta reading, which is a really interesting way to look at it, because like I do get, people who read the Patreon chapters and then either comment or send messages or whatever. And they're like, oh my God, I loved this, or I want more of this. And it gives you a really interesting and unique opportunity to like have a finger on the pulse of what people love. And so now that I'm sending ARC copies out, and there are people who've never read it, people who are not Patreon subscribers, who are reading it for the first time and commenting, they're like, oh my gosh, I love this. And I'm not like, I'm not smug about it, but I was like, I knew you would. And so it's been a really great opportunity to like, one, hold me and my brain accountable, but two, give back. I give 8% of all of my proceeds to the Move to Higher Ground project by the Quileute Tribal Nation, to try to move their cultural centers out of a tidal wave plane, which is terrifying, like a tsunami plane. So it's just been really, it's been a really great experience all around, like in forcing me to write. That's great. But also in, I think it's helped my writing, because it's kind of, like I said, been able to give me those touch points. Like people really like this. Or people really want to see more of this. And it's like, you know, so yeah, 10 out of 10 recommend Patreon to anyone who has trouble with that accountability. Even if you only ever get like 10 subscribers, like it's still people that are invested in you and invested in your work that then you can write to and for and keep yourself moving forward.
Yeah. So it's a way like you're not just writing for yourself, but you're writing for a community. You're writing for the community of, like, you know, romance readers who are cheering you on and wanting these books to be published, because there's more things that we want to be published, and we just need people to write them down for us, you know?
I feel more confident about this book release, I think, than I would have if I hadn't done the Patreon, simply because at the time I finished writing Hank, I had 100 patrons. And I had messages from many, many of them in comments being like, oh my God, I loved it. It was so good. Like at the end, like, why is it over? I want 1,000 epilogues. And so then it's kind of like you have that proof of concept. And so then going into book release, like not everybody's going to like it. Not every book is for every person, and not every person is for every book. But for me, it's helped keep the nerves down a little bit, because I'm like, okay, someone likes it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that we have a tendency to be like I was talking to Sarah Eastep. So she's got a book coming out. We were talking the other day about how like you as a writer go through like a transition. And at first you're like, oh my God, nobody's going to read this thing. Not a single person's going to read this thing. And then you get closer to release and you send out ARCs and people start reviewing. And then you're like, oh my God, people are going to read this thing. You're like, oh. But having already released it on Patreon, 100 people had already read it. And so I was like, okay, like people have already read it. And so it helped me. It's helped me to kind of like, not everyone's going to love it. And that's great. But like people have already read it. And I've already gotten over that nervy kind of like, oh God, who's going to read it? Because people have. And I lived, you know, like I survived. Because I think when you have anxiety, it's all like worst case prognostications, like, oh, you know, and it's like, no, 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 we will make it through this release. Like, it'll be fine. So yeah, Patreon, 10 out of 10 recommend.
So what can we expect for the Patreon now that Softland and Hank, and we're going to talk about Softland and Hank in a few, but what can we expect from
Softland and Hank? I just wrapped up my second book, which is a medieval Highland romance.
Ooh.
And that's a fun series. And so I'm writing two books at a time. I'm writing the second in the series, the Elements of Pining series, which is Soft Flannel Hank, that series. So I'm writing the second one, the What Happens Next. And then I'm also writing the next book in the medieval Highland series. So a little bit for everybody, if you like contemporary, we've got that. If you like historical, we've got that. So yeah, that's what's happening now. If you're interested in, if you've read Soft Flannel Hank or are going to read Soft Flannel Hank and you want to know what happens next before February, when the next book comes out officially, like I'm halfway through posting on Patreon. you know.
So if you want to get a plug. Shameless plug. Actually, no, I think it's shameless plug. I think honestly, if you're like one of those readers that can't get enough of the book, you're like, I want to know what happens and I want to know like your grocery list. Like, you know, like
I know. This is, it's like, so funny. I have some patrons who are like, I will give you my money every month. Like I'm going to, because I want to buy you a coffee every month. And that's how they liken it. Like, because yeah, the base level subscription is $5 a month and that gets you everything. Mm-hmm. So they're like, I want to buy you a coffee every month. So here's my $5, but they refuse to read it until the end. And they're like, I want you to let me know when the final chapter posts, because I'm not going to read it until it's all up. And I'm like, okay. And then there's the other people who read 1 week at a time and they're like, why do you do this to me? And I'm like, you do this to yourself. You could wait till the end, but I'm glad you're not. I'm glad you're here. But,
oh my gosh. This is exciting. So let's talk about Softland and Hank. What is the elevator pitch?
The elevator pitch is that he is the depressed middle-aged man in therapy, which we love to see.
Yeah.
And he falls in love for the most chaotic witch, perhaps alive. But she's got a dangerous secret and lots of pining, lots of tension, lots of wood chopping. We love a man who chops wood. and he's a burly plus sized gentleman, which we also love to see. So yeah, it's fun. It's not a rom-com. I will say that it's not particularly funny. But nor do I try to like devastate you for long, you okay. know, like, I think there's a couple of moments that are like, you know, like, but then like we immediately get back into the action. Like I don't make you sad for like four chapters in a row. I can't do that. Cause I don't like to read that. So it's a fun, I like it a lot. I think it's a fun, it was a fun book to read again for me. It was a fun book to write. And I really hope people like it because I'm really proud of it.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
I'm allowing myself to say that.
Yes, congratulations. You wrote a book. And now you just
I wrote a book and my therapist and I talked about this the other day. I was like, I think that it's good. I think I should be proud of it. And she was like, no, it is good. You should be proud of it. And I was like, okay, Jennifer. Okay. So yeah, it's fun. And I feel like it kind of, it's like cozy paranormal. Like there's no like global vampire conspiracy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just cozy. It's just people living their lives. And the dude who works at the convenience store in your small town just happens to be a werewolf. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very cozy.
I am excited for this book. I've been hearing about this book since you've been writing it. So, like, and I'm one of those people who needs to read the whole thing, to, you know, front to back.
No, I need to binge.
I have to binge it. Like, the whole idea of me waiting for it, it's like, serials sound really good on paper because they keep you engaged. Like, they keep you going to the next chapter, next chapter, next chapter, next chapter. But you have to wait. And I personally don't have the patience to wait. So I'd rather just like
bang on it
and then just like read it in one sitting, which is like, I know writers spend months and years writing these books for me to read it in 1 hour and 1 day and like two days.
I think that's honestly the biggest compliment. Like, when people have told me, like, I've had a couple ARC readers be like, I binged it. I was up till 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Everything is miserable today. I hate you. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's honestly the biggest compliment. Like, someone binging something you have created is the biggest compliment, because you're like, you enjoyed it so much that you literally couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
Like, binging is like book binging is like the highest of compliments.
Yeah.
The highest of compliments, because it's, we've all read those books that it's like, this is good. This is very good.
Yeah.
And I am enjoying this, but oh, I have to go change the laundry over. You know what I mean?
Like, I need to be on Instagram.
Or like, I'm going to go outside and do this. But like, we've also all read those books where you're like, I do not exist as a human to the other members of my house. I am a ghost. Do not speak to me. I am not here. Like, until this book is over, I do not exist on this mortal plane. Leave me alone. And yeah, so for people to read it all in one sitting, it's like, it's a huge compliment for me anyways, I think. Yes.
I hope so too. Yeah, I think for me, it's either the book I read in one sitting and then it becomes my whole personality, which is like me.
Like, I do that all the time.
And I go to therapy and talk about it.
All the time. And then you're like walking around your house, just like swishing things very dramatically.
So it's all good stuff. All right. So we're going to talk about some romance recommendations. Oh, actually, what kind of books do you tend to read? Because I'm assuming romance, but it might be something else. So
I read pretty much exclusively romance at this point, I will admit. I didn't used to. I used to read mostly literary fiction.
Mm.
That's what my MFA is in.
Okay.
And I used to write the most depressing shit, you know, anyways. And then my dad passed away. And I read a book that then I cried for like 5 hours after finishing it. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't need to do this anymore. My life is really hard right now. It's a lot of existential crisis on its own, and my reading is my escape. I don't need my books to be existential crises as well. You know, I need that happily ever after guarantee. It has been really good for my brain the last few years. You know, going through grief, growing through, you know, like children. I have a daughter who has a brain tumor. You know what I mean? Like just, there's a lot of heavy things in life. And so that happily ever after guarantee, knowing that, like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know that at the end, everything's going to be okay. That's been huge for me. So that's mostly what I read. Although I am reading a YA book right now for the Trans Rights Readathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I am obsessed. You talk about can't put it down. I've been really angry at all of the commitments that I have for, like, you know, taking my kids to swim lessons and stuff, because I haven't been able to finish it. But it's Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas. I don't know if you've...
That's in my list. So how... Tell me all about it.
I don't even know if I can articulate it. It is... He is a young trans boy. He comes from a long line of Bruhexes. It's spelled Bruhx.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Spanish is obviously not my first language, but there's so much rich like culture, like the cemetery where he lives and the culture in which he has grown up. Yadriel is the main character's name, is as much a character as Yadriel. And he accidentally, while trying to reincarnate the spirit of his cousin who has experienced, like who has been killed, he accidentally reincarnates the spirit of another boy who they went to high school with, but they don't know each other. And then it's just like off like a shot. And it is so good and so tender, but also like funny and gritty. And I've cried like 6 times and I am at 81% and I want it to be over because I want them to be okay at the end. Mm-hmm. But I also want like 3 million epilogues, like literally 3 million. That's not an over exaggeration. I want, like, I would literally live in this character world for the rest of my life. It is unbelievable. And I'm really mad because it had a big moment last year when it came out and everybody was talking about it. And I had it on my TBR, but I was like, no, I don't want to rewatch it. I just kept pushing it down. And so I picked it up for the Trans Rights Readathon. And I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at everyone else for not bullying me into read it. I'm just mad at everyone who didn't just delete everything else off of my Kindle. But this book, it's so good. But yeah, Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas. Chef's kiss, 10 out of 10.
Adding it to my TBR for sure. Do you have any other recommendations you want to share with our listeners?
I do. Can I just like go rapid fire? Yeah. I have a lot. Yeah.
Let's do it.
If you're, these are all romance other than Cemetery Boys. Yeah. I just finished Three Kings by Freydis Moon, also for the Trans Rights Readathon. So lush. It's poly. It is one of the most beautifully written books I've read this year. Like I had like probably 50 highlights and it's not that long a book. So just gorgeous. If you're looking for a romp, kind of like a fantasy romance romp, That Time I Got Drunk and Saved a Demon by Kimberly Lemming. Mm-hmm. I don't use the word romp very often, but that book is a romp. It is hilarious. Keyed Up by Sarah Estep, that comes out in May. May 5th? I don't know. May. Super good. Small town romance, large group of friends, big cast of characters. If you like, she literally won an award for her banter. So it is, the banter in this book is also chef's kiss. Always Rafe by Rebecca Weatherspoon. Rebecca Weatherspoon could literally write a manual on how to change a light bulb. And I would 5-star it. Every single thing Rebecca Weatherspoon writes, I read in one sitting. And then I scream about it to everyone I know. But Rafe is a favorite. It's cozy. It's domestic. It's two people who genuinely like each other, who are nice to each other. And isn't that refreshing? Curated by Nellie Wilson. Fantastic anxiety rep. And a white man who learns to understand and recognize his privilege, which we also love to see. Women in STEM, like I said, anxiety rep. So good. If you're looking for monster romance, because everybody is, that's very hip right now, I still always recommend The Soul Eater by Lily Maine. That's from the Monstrous series. All of the books that I've read from that series are good, but Soul Eater, Wynn and Danny are my favorite. And they're really, really amazing. And next on my list that I'm really excited about, I haven't read yet, but is Drag Me Up by RM Virtues for the Trans Rights Readathon. My book recommendation life has been made very easy by the Trans Rights Readathon because I've read so many incredible books. I was like, I have so many choices. And then I'm reading Alexis Hall's what is next? Something Fabulous. Can't wait.
Super excited. Love all these recommendations. They're so good. So tell us what you're finding. Read diverse, read trans. What else can you do?
Yes. We've Trans Rights Readathon has been extended. The fundraising deadline is still today, I believe. But then the readathon has been extended to the 31st, which is the trans right or like trans day of visibility. It's a really exciting time to read. And there's so many incredible books. So yeah, like you said, read trans books.
And if you're listening to this after it airs and, you know, in 2024, 2025, you can still read trans books and make donations to trans books.
Yes. yes. Read books about and by LGBTQIA authors. Like, yeah. Even if it's out of your wheelhouse, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Expand your wheel, get a bigger wheelhouse because yeah. Like they're so, oh my gosh, so good.
Yeah.
But yes, read trans books.
Awesome. And so tell us where you can find you online and how can we sign up to your Patreon?
You would ask me about my Patreon. I don't have the exact web address for my Patreon, but it is linked on my website, which is elizamacarthur.com. You can find me on Instagram at elizamacarthurwrite. I'm on Twitter at Eliza_MacArthur. I'm never on Twitter. I'll be brutally honest. I get on Twitter like once every 6 weeks and I'll tweet like 7 times and then I disappear for another 6 weeks because it's a little scary over there for me, but you can find me. And then on Facebook, which I'm also never on for similar reasons, but my editor says I have to be on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ I never know, groups/ Eliza's Mick Readers, MacReaders. Yeah, but all those links are also on my website. So elizamacarthur.com if you want to just keep it simple and just click links, you know.
There we go. Thank you, Eliza, for being on the show.
Yeah, it was an honor and such a pleasure.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get 2 audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of 1 with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.